Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Latria with us. Latria, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, hello, hello, hello. My name is Latria Rush. A lot of people know me in the social media world as Coach Latria. I am a disability empowerment coach, a speaker, as well as an award-winning author. I have, to date, 8 books of my own that I have published, as well as I have a number of publications that I have participated in as well. What else? I am also a teacher. I teach pre-K. As I stated in the beginning of this, I do have a disability. I am visually impaired, hearing impaired. I've had a number of operations, I would say anywhere between 32, 33 operations. First operation I had, I was 2 months old. The last operation I had was 2009. So I'm not going to tell you how old I was then. Nonetheless, I've never let any of that interfere with anything that I have going on. Along with having the disability, I've also, my parents had some challenges as well. My dad was, I'm going to say this, but this is a running joke that me and my dad have. So just know I'm not coming from my dad when I say this. Me and my dad, we have this running joke. He's an alcoholic, okay? But he doesn't call himself an alcoholic. At least he didn't call himself an alcoholic. He called himself a drunk because alcoholics go to those, you know, AA meetings and Alcohol Anonymous meetings. My dad didn't go to no Alcoholic Anonymous meeting. So I'm like, what is we calling you an alcoholic for? Well, you and I both know you have not gone to Alcoholic Anonymous meeting. Okay. All right. With that being said, he did have some struggles with alcohol. My mom was addicted to crack. For a long time, my mom was what I would consider a functioning addict. She functioned well. You know, she was on drugs for a long time. before I knew it. She was able to function. She was able to go to work. She was able to kind of live life, as she would live life and still be on drugs. I didn't realize she was on drugs until I got older. But nonetheless, having all of that brought about its own problems, along with being disabled. So we have two different things going on here. We have a child that has a disability that's causing her to be in and out of the hospital a lot. And then we have a situation over here with her parents having their own situation, having their own difficulties, having their own challenges, and so on and so forth. So that would, in most cases, create a situation where survival would become the focus point, if you will.
Thanks for sharing that. So I'm really excited to hear your story now. But
Like,
before we get
where do I get that?
started,
Well, where do I start? Well, how do I
where
start
do
here?
I get from here?
What? And that dude's like the first person that had like a really confused look on your face. Okay, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know what she wants me to do with this, but okay, we'll give
We're
it
gonna unpack all of
a try.
that. But before we do, tell us how you would describe survival mood.
I would see, that's the thing. Because in my, for me, theologically, I want to do more than survive. Because for me, survival mode means I'm just making it from day to day. I'm just making it. I'm getting up, I'm going through the motions, and I'm just making it from day to day. I'm not trying to go any further or anything past today. I get up, I brush my teeth, I do what I'm supposed to do to make it through the day. So survival, I have been in survival mode before, so don't get me wrong, that we all have to a certain extent. But in my mind, when I hear survival, that's what I hear. I hear, okay, I'm just getting up, I'm just going through the motions, and I'm just making it through the day. I'm just making it through the day. If I can make it through the day, I'm good. If I can make it through the day unscathed, I'm good. If I can make it through the day without, and I'm going to take an example out of my life. If I can make it through the day without being bullied, I'm good. If I can make it through the day without being taunted and teased at school, I'm good. If I can make it through the day without coming home and my parents are fighting, I'm good. If I can make it through the day and I come home and there's food in the refrigerator, I'm good. So in my mind, that's what survival mode looks like.
I agree with you, right? There is just that autopilot of just trying to get through the day, get through the week, get through the month, get through the year in hopes that things will get better on the other side. So now, Latria, as I said, I'm so curious. I want to hear your story too and through survival mode.
Let me see. I like I said, I've never, okay, let me take that back. I had lived through that. And I got to a point where as I became older, I got tired of living like that because it becomes tiring. It becomes draining. It becomes just tiring and draining. Just trying to make it from point A to point B to point C to point D. And you're just like, you're pulling all of your energy into getting to that point. And I think as I became an adult, because I lived like that as a kid, I was automatically conditioned to live that way as an adult, to just make it through the day. So I would just keep telling myself, okay, listen, if you could just make it through the day. And then I stopped, and I one day I stopped. I was like, but there's so much more. There's so much more. Like, I can have so much more. I can be so much more. I wasn't called to just make it through the day. I wasn't called to just make it through the week. I wasn't called to do that. I was called to go above and beyond that. I was called to do so much more. I was called to reach so much higher than just making it through the day or making it through the week. And I think a lot of times, because life is so hard or life can become so hard, we set those limitations on ourselves. But we're like, if I could just get to here, I'll be good. But we don't think past. We don't think past here. We just stop ourselves right here. We start here And we said, if I could just get to here, I'm good. But we don't think past here. We don't think that all this up here. We don't think about eating a fat. So when I realized how much I was limiting myself, wait a minute, God called me to be so much more and to do so much more. And what I've learned to do is use the things that I have a story. I have a story. And that is what I use to get me up here. And now for me, sky is the limit. I no longer limit myself. I no longer limit my expectations. I no longer limit my abilities. I no longer limit anything connected to me. Sky is the limit. You can't tell me what I can't have. You can't tell me what I can't do. You just can't do that. I'm sorry. Now, maybe way back then you could, but now currently you can't. You can't tell me what I can't have. You can't tell me what I can't do because I've taken the limitations off. And I've stopped surviving and I started thriving. I started taking what I already have and using it to push me further. I have a signature speech that I do when I go speak. It's called Using Your Pain to Push You to Purpose. And that's what I do. Every day I get out of bed, I use my pain to push me a little closer to my purpose. So every day, and the goal for me every day is to get out the bed and get a little closer to the purpose that God has for me. Get a little closer to what I'm supposed to be doing. Get a little closer to where I'm supposed to be.
I love what you said, right? Like being able to put down the limitations, being able to anchor into your purpose, I think is huge in accident survival mode, right? When I talk about survival mode and accidenting it, I always say that there are three phases. The first is awareness, the second is reprogramming, and the third is reinvention. And I feel like a lot of the work happens in reprogramming, right? Because we're not just reprogramming our thoughts. We are rewriting narratives. We are challenging the limitations that have been set on us by society, by family and friends, and by ourselves. And we're learning to show up different. And one of the things that I do work on with my clients is being able to anchor into that purpose, because I feel like once you can highlight what you believe your purpose is. Like it drives you in a different direction, right? Like it's now I can. I've always heard about like intentional action and, those type of things, and it never really made sense to me until I like really honed in on why I'm here. And part of that was being able to anchor into my own story. It's anchoring into it. Accepting it, and a lot of people resist acceptance because they think it's synonymous with condoning, which it is not, right? I don't like half the stuff that I'm been through. Let me just tell you that I don't like 1 ounce of it, but I accept that it happened, and I also accept that it happened in order for me to evolve into the woman that I am today. And as a result, I have less resentments about the things that I've been through. I have less guilt. I have less shame because everything served a purpose. But that only came as a result of me reframing, reprogramming, challenging, and being honest with myself.
And I think for me, a lot of it was too, was that, as I explained previously, growing up in the environment that I grew up in, and just having the challenges and having to deal with the things that I had to deal with, there was a lot of confusion. And there was a lot of like, okay, I don't understand. I don't get this. I don't understand. Like, I'm gonna need somebody to make this clear for me because I'm a little confused. But it wasn't until I started to unpack some things and get into my word and get into the Bible and understand how God's alignment with you and how he creates you and he puts you in certain situations for a reason. And even though, and a lot of times people don't understand this, but even though you don't understand at the moment, it works out for not only your good, but it works out for his too. My thing was always, I never understood why I had a disability. I never understood why I had to go through so many surgeries. I never understood why me. Why of all the people in the world, he could have
Oh, 7 billion at
he
that time.
could have been to have to go through this and have to endure this. Why me? But then, as I got older, and as I watched my story unfold, I thank God for picking me. I thank God for picking me because I see how it impacts people. I see how it helps people. I see how just me opening up and sharing it allows other people to see that there is another side to all of this. There is another side to the pain. There is another side to the agony. There is another side to the defeat. There is another side to everything that you've ever had to go through. There's another side to it. But the key is getting to that other side. And how do you get to that other side? You give yourself the grace, have the faith to push to perseverance. That is how you get to the other side of that. And now I thank God for my story. I wouldn't have it. People ask me all the time, well, if you could change anything, would you change it? I'm like, no, not one single thing. Because it was all for a purpose. It
And
was.
that, you know, that's a testament to your healing process, right? There, I have r run across very few people who have anchored into their healing that isn't grateful for the journey, right? And you spoke earlier about oftentimes we get like, I think we get addicted to the destination, like setting this goal and that's it. Like, you know, we don't always appreciate the journey. And I remember one time I was going through something, I was living in Atlanta and I was really going through something, and one of my family members said, "You know what? It's not about the journey, it's about the destination." And I said, "Do you recognize the journey is what breaks you?" So, yes, it is about the journey, it either makes you or breaks you. But to dismiss it as if the destination is
It's
the
just the end
only,
all be all.
yeah, it's ridiculous, right? But a lot of us live our lives like that, right? We are conditioned to dismiss our experiences. We're conditioned to dismiss our emotions. We're conditioned to show up differently to keep everyone else around us comfortable. What is the toll that it takes on our journey when we do that? And so, yeah, the journey is just as important as the destination. And to me, it probably holds a little bit more weight. Because the journey determines how well you can appreciate.
Appreciate the destination. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I tell people this all the time. Like, it reminds me of a story. Let me keep it brief. I was traveling somewhere. I was traveling from DC to North Carolina. And I remember riding in a car because I don't drive. So I was riding in a car with someone. And I remember it just started raining so bad. Like, when I say raining, I'm talking rain, like rain, just really hard. Cats, dogs, mice, all that. So,
Not mice.
I do what I normally do. I start praying, you know, praying for the cars around us, praying for the cars in front of us, praying that, you know, that for the driver of the car, praying that that the rain stops and so on and so forth. So I remember when the rain stopped, and I remember God saying to me, why didn't you just pray for me to get you through the rain versus praying for the rain to stop? And it made me think, why are we so destined to get through the journey so quickly to arrive at a destination instead of enjoying the journey as we're going through it. Yes, is it painful? Yes. Can it be painful? Yes. Can it make you want to stop someday? Yes. But it is so worth it because I promise you, the person you were when you started this journey will not be the person that's at the end of this journey. You will not be the same person at all. You will be so different. You will be a different person. You will be a different version of yourself. Now, I'm not going to say better because, that's an interpretation left up to whoever's going through the journey. But you will definitely be different. You will definitely not be the same person you were that started it. You will, I mean, depending on the journey that you're going through, you'll be stronger. You'll be more confident. You'll be bolder because you have gone through something. And when you go through something, it strengthens you in a way that you really can't explain. It strengthens you. It empowers you. It makes you feel confident in your strength and in your abilities. It makes you feel confident in just who you are as a person because you went through something. And not only did you go through it, you survived.
And I remember maybe about 25 years ago, I was introduced to Yvonne Lavenzet, and the very first book that I read of hers was called The Value in the Valley.
Oh, okay.
And it talked about being able to extrapolate the lessons in the valley so that when we hit the mountaintop, we are edified, we have evolved, we have a level of gratitude because of how we have managed to shift. And that's why, again, the journey is so important. Every lesson learned edifies us if we allow it to, right? That edification is what changes us for the better. And when we are able to really ground ourselves in the growth we experience along the way, that's when the gratitude comes along. That's when we can really accept the journey for what it was, because, like you said, it has a purpose. And that purpose is getting us to the destination, hopefully, in the space that we need to be in to then make another choice of where we're going to head. And the purpose of getting to the destination is not to settle into that destination, right? And just like surviving, the purpose of surviving is not to settle into being a survivor. It is preparing you to thrive. It is preparing you to take your experience, your journey to the next level. But oftentimes, what happens is we get resentful of what we've experienced. We overlook the lessons that have been placed in front of us that will help evolve us into the people that we need to be. And the one thing about lessons that I have learned along the way, if at first you do not learn, life will
You will have
teach
done
you
nothing
ever and
again.
ever again, which then behooves us to really pay attention on the journey, right? Because every lesson has a purpose.
It
Every
does.
lesson is molding us into the people that we need to be and able in order for us to step into our purpose and be impactful in this world, right? And I think that's what self-actualization is. We've heard about this pyramid of, climbing out of to safety and love and all of this stuff, but really it's about taking the lessons that we've learned, growing as a result of that, and then being able to reach back and help someone else. Our struggles today are the master class for someone tomorrow, and if we cannot accept our journey.
And it's funny you say that because I tell people all the time is that our stories are not for us. Our experiences are not for us. They have, yes, we are involved in them. And yes, we feel it. But they have nothing to do with us. It's not like it's a personal attack, if you will, but it's to cultivate and help someone else get to their next. See, we've gotten to our next. Now we are supposed to share our story, share our triumph, share our process to help someone else get to their next, in hopes that they will do the same, in hopes that this will continue and continue and continue. I have a quote that I share on Facebook sometimes that somebody is waiting for you. Somebody is waiting for you at the end for the baton. If you stop mid-race, then they will never get the baton. If you stop before the finish line, then they will never get the baton. There's someone waiting for you at the finish line for the baton. And if you stop, then they'll never get it.
That's powerful because that's being able to take the blessings bestowed on you through the lessons to pass it on to someone else. And that's what it really just boils down to, you know? Life is not meant to be experienced in a siloed nature, but by social conditioning, by, you know, our inability to accurately process emotions because that's been stripped of us. We lose focus on what is really important, and that is community. That is being able to help the next person. We all have a purpose. We're all meant to be impactful. You know, one of the things, I have two young daughters, and every day, twice a day, they say affirmations, and one of the affirmations is, I'm here to change the world. I believe every single one of us, that is the final destination. Being able to be impactful, being able to change the world in some way or another. But in order for us to do so, we need to learn how to accept and embrace the peaks and the valleys, because they all serve a purpose.
And that's the thing. That reminds me, I was talking about something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, I was talking about, because I'm a teacher, so I was talking about behavior and how behavior is a form of communication, and how sometimes in children, and some adults too, but in children, we tend to want to praise the good behavior, but discipline the bad behavior, which I kind of get that. But at the same token, whether it's good or bad, and I don't like the term bad, no way, but whether it's good or bad, it's still a form of communication. We're so busy trying to correct the bad behavior, we're not looking at what that bad behavior is trying to communicate. Because whether or not we like it or not, it's still trying to communicate something. It's still trying to tell us that some type of need is not met. So we're so busy trying to get rid of all the bad stuff. We're so busy trying to get rid of the stuff that doesn't fit the mold, or doesn't fit, or doesn't coincide with what we're trying to do. We want to get rid of that. We want to toss it out. We want to throw it away. All of that. But instead of getting rid of that and tossing that out, let's look at that the same way we would look at the positives. Let's look at that and see how we can use that in a way. Now, yes, under normal circumstances, it may be considered bad or whatever, but it can be used. Just because we deem it to be bad doesn't mean it can't be used in some way, shape, or form. Because God would not have allowed us to have that experience if that experience can't be used.
And as you're saying this, the biggest, like, I always visualize, I like giving examples that people can really anchor into, right? So as you're saying this, you know, wanting to throw away the bad and not using it for its good, all I can think of is manure, right? Now listen, I don't want nobody deliver no manure to my step, my front step. But let me tell you, if I'm growing a garden, if I'm trying to grow myself some food, you better dump that manure.
You ain't gotta put it right here in the front. I'm gonna show you where to take it around back. I got a nice little spot for it around back. Away from everything else, right round back. I got a nice little spot for it.
Exactly. And it's rich of nutrients. It has everything that that soil needs to grow, that seed to flourish. But to the average person,
Right. I don't.
it's just
Ew.
manure.
And that's an excellent example. That is an excellent example. Because, like I said, nobody wants that, like in the front of their house, okay? But if you're trying to grow you a good garden, look, let me show you where to put that on brown bag. I'm gonna give you a nice little space in the back. Wait, I'm gonna show you where to put that at. Because I'm gonna need that, though. I don't want it right there, but I'm gonna
I
need
need that. I need to grow my pumpkins.
that, though. So I'm gonna show you where to put that in the back.
Yes. But yes, I mean, but this is the life that we live, and everything serves a purpose. Everything gets us closer to where we need to be in life, and it's just about learning how to embrace it. Learning how to embrace it, and as you said, give ourselves grace, because everything in life is learned experience, and the more you manage to navigate through the hard stuff, the more appreciative you are of the easy stuff. So, Miss Latria, I have definitely enjoyed this conversation. Why don't you tell us a bit more about what you do and how we can find you online?
Okay, so as I said before, I am a disabilities empowerment coach. Excuse me. I work with children and children that have disabilities. We work with children in terms of self-esteem, self-reassurance, self-image. We focus more on who they are as a person, more or less as a person with a disability. And I have workshops and things of that nature that I do. Well, I do one-on-one coaching with children, but I also have workshops for parents. I have a workshop with parents where we explore disability. We explore what it means to have a child with a disability. There are different phases that parents go through. One of the number one phases that a parent of a child with disability goes through is grief. And we unpack that grief. We unpack what that grief looks like. See, what I've realized and what I've noticed that is that most parents that have a short child with a disability, they tend to grieve who the child is not versus who the child is. Or they grieve what they wish the child was versus what the child really is. So they tend to compare. And I'm not saying this as is a bad thing, because it's not a bad thing. It's just being a parent. Some parents, not say all parents, but some parents will look at their child that happens to have a disability and say, okay, I wish my child could do XYZ. That's not saying that in reference to what they can see, what they see other typical children to be able to do. So what I do is what I try to do, at least, is I try to help take the focus off of what they can't do and put it back on what they can do. Because if we can harness what they can do, then they'll become a more confident person. They'll become a more confident child. And not only in society, but in the school as well. I also work with parents on self-care, the importance of understanding how you need to care for yourself so that you can care for your child. How you need to take a time out. If you need to take a time out, take a time out. And it's okay. A lot of parents with children with disabilities, they feel a level of guilt when they have to take a time out away from their child, because they're like, okay, what does my child want to do without me? Honey, guess what? It's gonna be a day. Hopefully not no time soon, but there's gonna be a day where you're gonna close your eyes and you're gonna no longer be with us. And your child gonna have to learn how to function without you. And that's the number one thing that I kind of hone in on. Parents should be to teach our children from the time that they can walk, should be to teach our children how to live without us. They should be able to, they, we should be teaching them how to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, without us, because it's going to come a day and time when we're not going to be, we're either not going to be here or we're going to be up in age and we're not going to be able to do the things that we used to be able to do. I've done a number of workshops with parents that came to me, I mean, in tears because they were scared because their child was 18, 19 years old, and they wanted to go to college and they wanted to go away to college, not live in a household. And they were scared to let them go. They're like, what if they get robbed? Or what if this happened? Or what if that happened? And they had all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And like I told them, I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm not a genie. I don't have a crystal ball. I said, but what I can say is that if we give them the skills they need before they leave, they will be that much better when they do. I said, now I can't guarantee they're not going to get robbed. I can't guarantee that these things are not going to happen. But I can say we can do the best job that we can to prepare them. So that's some of what I do with parents. Like I said, I do the other things with children as well. Let's see, I have a number of workshops that I provide on my website. Books, I have 8 books to date. Yeah, 8 books to date. All of those are on my website. I'm actually coming out with some new merch. I have a kids line coming out and I have an adult line coming out. This is one of the new t-shirts I have. It says, without his glory, there would be no story. And this will be on my website as well. So, yeah, and I'm always open for speaking opportunities. Anyone out there looking for a speaker or what have you, I'm always open to that. So, yeah.
Just give us your website.
Oh, it is www.coachlatria. I'm gonna spell Latria, LAT as in Tom, REA dot net.
Okay, we'll make sure that is in the show notes. So, Coach Latria, before we wrap it all up, give us one key takeaway for the audience to action.
You can do the hard stuff. You can do the hard stuff. Yes, it's hard. And yes, it might be difficult to do, but you can do the hard stuff. And if you get up every day and you set that as your focus and your goal, and that is your affirmation every day, I can do the hard stuff. I can do the hard stuff. And if you tell yourself that every day, after a while, it's going to become so embedded in you. But that doesn't mean that life is going to all of a sudden become easy. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's giving yourself the words that you need to get through the hard stuff. So when the hard stuff comes, I can do this. I can do this. I can do the hard stuff. No matter what comes my way, I can do the hard stuff. I was called to do the hard stuff.
Yes, indeed. Audience, you can do the hard stuff. You just have to believe. So, thank you so much for your time on.
I love how you said
You just have to believe. Listen,
that.
there one thing I've learned along my healing journey is your belief anchors anything that you do, right? Like, I don't care how many times you say an affirmation, if you don't believe it, let me tell you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Start with a solid belief, trust me, and you will see a shift because your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, it will do what it needs to do to help you fulfill that affirmation if you believe. So thank you again for your time, Coach Latria and audience. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation it probably cracks something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.